Lapel ladies and ball gown boys, ignore your kidney's protest as you cinch your waist. Ponder the eternal question, Paisley or Argyle. And tell me, Mr. Bond, are you really in a position to judge me for wearing espadrilles with Bermuda shorts?
What, this whole thing? It's time to talk till to me.
I didn't have anything to wear, so I just put on talk tall to me.
It's a little tight around the waist, but it works. Hugs my curves.
Welcome back. I am Omen Thomas Sade.
And I am Nick McGill.
Together we are that designing duo, the Feckless Momes.
And this, my sweet little cotton shifts, is Talk Tall to Me.
Category is a runway strut on the catwalk of prog rock in which non-woven Nick and Oxford Omen will let out the waist and bring up the sleeve of every single track that ruching rock band Jethro Tull have ever launched for the new collection, now with spring florals. We will patiently watch David Pegg prance in his new plum peplum. We will don delightful D'Orsay slippers to dance with Dandy Doan Perry. And we will boast a bugle-beaded bustier to blow the mind of Martin Balenciaga Barr. And if we can keep our gussets gimped and our loafers in line, we may one day brush the bishop's sleeve of the Bagatelle of Blackpool, the Prada of Peregrination, the stitch-bonded Scotsman, the harem-pant harmonist, a man with more attitude than a 1981 Vivian Westwood fall collection, Ian A-Line Anderson.
What's a peplum? I used to know what that is. I knew that word.
Peplum is a style of shirt or dress that cuts in at the high waist and then flounces out. So it accentuates the waist and the bust, but it hides the hips.
So they wore peplums at the fair, right? Is that why I know that word?
Probably. It's a style that can be applied to lots of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. At the Sterling Renaissance Festival, for those curious.
The Festival of the Sterling Renaissance.
Nick, welcome. Hello. It's nice to see you.
It's a pleasure. Pleasure's all mine, Omen. I insist.
You know, it's also a pleasure.
Talking tall?
You're so right.
We're in tune.
And guess what we are doing today?
I think we're doing our third to last bonus track, or our second bonus track, however you want to do the math. We are halfway through the bonus tracks.
I don't want to do the math at all.
We are 6/7 through this album. We are on one of your all-time favorite. Top five, you said last episode. Top five.
Yeah, as improbable as that sounds, yes, we are talking about Gold-Tipped Boots, Black Jacket, and Tie.
Black Jacket and Tie.
Nick McGill.
Goodness gracious. That song is only 3.5 minutes. It feels like it's 6. Not in a bad way.
It feels like a fucking eternity.
I hate how long it is. No. Wow. Gold tip boots, black jacket and tie. What a funky number.
I was worried listening to this song this time around because I talked such a big game about it. And then I was like, well, what if it's not as good as I remember it?
When's the last time you listened to this?
It's probably been a while. It's probably been a month or two, at least.
Okay.
And upon listening to it again, I'm like, no, this is my theme song.
Okay.
I love it. I love everything about it. And I connect with it.
So I'm guessing mostly it's going to be lyrically.
Oh, I love the music as well. I think the way that the lyrics are expressed musically, the support for it, even if they were different lyrics, I think I would still like the song. I love the mandolin. I
mean, oh, yeah. Musically, it's great. I'm just thinking in terms of how much you connect to it.
Yes, it's more the lyric side of things.
Okay, so we can really delve into that when we get over on the second half, when we journey over that mountain.
As long as we don't delve too deeply and too greedily and awake that which should not have been awakened in our quest to find the Arkenstone.
Smaug?
The Balrog, actually.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, Nick, does this song do anything for you? I'm sure you're not as fanatical about it as I am.
It's never been a favorite of mine.
That's fair.
It's always been one of those that it's like, this rocker's coming on. In particular, I've always paired Gold Tip Boots and When Jesus Came to Play.
Yes.
They fit so well together.
Yes, they do.
That they really just, they're kind of the same song. It's really a bit underwhelming to not hear When Jesus Came to Play start up kind of right after that.
And thematically, they do feel like part A and part B. Musically, yeah. They have a lot of connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's never been one that I've been like, let me sit down and really experience this song. It's always that there's enough going on that I can comfortably kind of have it as a background song. And I don't feel like I'm missing much because to me, the bulk of it feels like the music.
That's fair. Yeah.
I've never sat down and tried to figure out what the f*** he's trying to say in this song.
We'll get into that. Why don't we start with the music?
Yes.
One of the things that I really appreciate about this song is that it is so mandolin forward.
Yeah.
That intro, we have the mandolin and we have the drum sticks.
Very tickety, tickety, tickety.
Very tickety, tickety, maybe being played on the rim of the snare drum, but almost maybe like they're being played on like a wooden surface. There's something very like,
yeah,
homegrown, improvised.
Yeah, I think if it were on a rim, it would sound a little hollow, but I think you're right. I think there's something wooden there because there's enough action to it. It's so bouncy that he's bouncing off of it and going back because he's using the tips of the drumsticks as opposed to further down.
Just the tips.
Just the gold tips of the drumsticks.
It sounds great. It sounds resourceful.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's a very unique sound. We very, very rarely get any rim action in tall drumming, much to your chagrin.
Yeah. I keep asking for rim action, but oh, well, that sound also pairs very well with the mandolin.
Yes. Very acoustic feeling, very natural feeling.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There is some sliding of the guitar. It's mm-hmm. not the most prominent guitar sound necessarily because we have some more traditional electric guitar playing yeah. as we go, but there's definitely some of that slide guitar action, which again helps to develop that sense of American space, I guess.
Yeah, there's a fluidity that it lends to this. And it's on the simpler side, the sliding, that it feels like he's just got a glass slide on his finger and he's just doing it in the moment and then he carries on.
Or he picked up a whiskey bottle.
Yeah, you could also do that, yeah.
That somebody threw at him and he used that.
He drank it all and then used it.
He did, exactly.
I can't imagine Martin's much more of a drinker than Ian is. He seems kind of a teetotaler, yeah.
The other big element of this song, sonically, is Ian's voice.
Yes.
We've got layers. We have this kind of grumble singing. He layers his voice on top of itself a number of times in at least one or three, in at least two or three layers.
One or three layers.
Yeah. Not two. So we have that grumbly undertone. And then we occasionally have some really fun falsetto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Black Jacket and Tie.
He's all over the place in this one. Black Jacket and Tie. It's really fun. It's really fun to watch him bounce off of the walls or to listen to him bounce off of the walls here.
Yes. There's also the whole non-verbal side of his singing.
Yeah, a lot of ejacks here. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
I think they even go beyond a vocal ejack.
Yeah.
Because it's not just a single statement. You know, sometimes he will go, yep. Or, yeah.
Yeah.
But often it's more like the hobo scatting. He has a section where he's like,
yeah.
It's great. And It's almost like he's invented his own old man language.
It's that evolution of the Ejax that we've heard, definitely.
It's great. And sometimes all of that's happening at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
He gets very throaty on the flute. We get a lot of flute grunting. And then when we also get that flute grunting contrasted with the more straight ahead, beautiful flute playing.
Yeah, it's frantic and crazy, but it is still beautiful.
A good comparison is at about 153, we have the flute grunting with some yeah in between.
Mm-hmm.
And then at 205, it switches to the more the straight ahead flute solo, where we also do get some of the vocalization through the flute, but it's a lot cleaner sounding.
Yeah. We've got some chunky bass in here. Very chunky bass. In particular, it really caught me. It's if you listen for it, it's there and it's nice. But at about 2 minutes, it's just after Ian does some like a stretch with his voice. If you listen hard enough, you can hear the bass on the next step mimicking what Ian had just done.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting.
I don't know if it was the speaker that I was listening on, but I had a hard time picking out the bass at least until about halfway through the song. And I was like, oh, yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's as forward in the mix as we have sometimes had it in the past.
Yeah, it's a bit frantic, everything going on. And I think, yeah, just the mixing itself, it's there. It's a bit more subtle. Just after that, at 2:10, Ian catches a gulp in his throat. He goes on the flute and he goes, oh. Like that, and it like echoes,
yes.
It reverbs. Very much watching Ian play the flute, making those interjections when he's not on the flute. He's still making those sounds and those vocal expressions.
It's overall very high energy.
Oh, it's crazy energy. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's why it reminds me of you, because you're so high energy, Omen.
Am I?
I'll slow down. Just talking about your father, ironically enough, before this.
Yeah.
At a minute, we've got some nice cymbal work.
Ooh, yes.
Where it's not splashy. You can hear him catching the cymbal so it doesn't resonate. It's a kshk, kshk.
Yes, 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 yes.
He touches it so it doesn't go on. That's it sonically. That's it musically for me, definitely.
In conclusion, it's got a lot going on, and it is designed, or it is played in such a way that it... We've talked a little bit with this album about that sense of intimacy,
mm-hmm.
that the space in which you're listening to it seems to be more clearly defined than on some other albums, and it doesn't feel like a big stadium piece.
Mm-hmm.
You could have wandered into a bar in like a Southern Gothic novel,
mm-hmm.
and heard this weird codfish. What did the reviewer call it?
God,
codfish blues,
something like that. Yeah, yeah, that sounds right.
It's English blues band tearing it up.
Yeah, yeah, it's this weird amalgamation, and as much hate as this album gets, like I think it's darn good. I think it's darn good, and this. This song fits very, very well on this album.
Yeah.
Even as a bonus track, yeah.
Well said. So, Nick, here we are on the halfway point. Before we dive into correspondences...
Yeah?
I would like to tell you, what am I wearing?
What are you wearing, Omen?
This is what they call a friendship bracelet.
Yes.
You can hear it. They've become popular due to the cultural influence of Taylor Swift. I don't know.
Due to friendship, they've become very popular.
The Swifties will give each other friendship bracelets. In fact, my understanding is that when Kavis Trelsey, the footballist, when he was trying to court Taylor Swift, he created a friendship bracelet with his own phone number on it and somehow got it to her. And that's how she knew. I don't know. Anyway.
That's how you do, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you know, not bad. Certainly beats Morse code. So one of Katie's friends.
The longest bracelet ever, dot, dash, dot, dot, dash, dash.
Has to be a sweater. When Katie and their friends went to the Taylor Swift concert, one of them, they all made each other friendship bracelets. And one of the friends, very sweetly, didn't want me to be left out. And so asked me what my favorite Taylor Swift song was. And I was like, I really am not so familiar with her work. And she was like, well, I know you listen to Jethro Tull. What's your favorite Jethro Tull song? And I said, Gold Tip Boots, Black Jacket and Tie. And she made this friendship bracelet that has the title Gold Tip Boots, Black Jacket and Tie beaded onto it in black and gold colors. And I think it is so freaking cool.
What is it beaded onto?
Like a stretchy string.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's got three strands because it's such a long title.
Right. Yeah. It's taxing on the beadist.
Yes. The bead tax is crazy these days.
Gosh. Bead inflation. Beadflation, I tell you.
But I just thought that was kind of a cool crossover of Jethro Tull and Taylor Swift and young people's trends and, you know, the Jethro Tull crowd's trends, who are also young people, but a different definition of young.
Young at heart.
Yeah.
Even their hearts, questionable.
Yeah. I believe you mentioned that we had some correspondence. Uh-oh. Oh.
What is that? What's wrong?
Oh, look at me.
Oh,
look. I've worn my favorite fashion.
Mary, that is very, very flattering. That is a very nice.
You know that one of my greatest inspirations is Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, I could see that.
She once wore a potato sack to prove that she could make anything glamorous. And that's why I've sewn together the skins of these potatoes. Covered my luscious body with them for fashion's sake.
I'm not sure where you heard that she did that, but I've never heard that story about Marilyn Monroe, you know.
I'm a subscriber to Vogue magazine.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Mary, definitely. do you mean Vogue magazine?
Nay, I mean Vogue.
Oh, okay. Can you tell me what it's about?
Not really.
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought. Yep. Wow.
Anyway, here's your mail. I know you hate to see me leave, but I know you love watching me walk away.
That French fried Mary.
Just hope we're not having potatoes for dinner. I don't think I can stomach them.
Wow. Ooh. Thank you. Thank you for that, Mary. Greatly appreciated. Omen, I will start with my emails and then we'll go over to yours. How's that sound?
Sounds fantastic.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So we have a returned writer in her. It's been a while since we heard from Georgie K here. Georgie K.
Oh.
This is all the way back to Too Old to Rock and Roll, Too Young to Die.
Oh, wow.
The email is, so the old rocker gets out his bike to make a ton before he takes his leave. G'day, Nick and Omen. George from Australia. Please don't bother with the accent. No Americans get it. No Americans get it better than a cringeworthy 3 out of 10, though Zac Efron does a great job in the 2016 movie Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates.
Thanks for letting us off the hook with that one. I was immediately worried.
I've just finished the title track episode of Too Old to Rock and Roll, Too Young to Die. You were both a bit stumped, an apt cricketing term, you will soon see why. Why the line, so the old rocker gets out his bike to make a ton before he takes his leave. We eventually figured out, people told us, makes a ton. The ton is 100. He breaks 100 on the bike.
Yep.
To make a ton is a cricketing term where the batter makes 100 runs.
Oh.
So it's even more directly tied.
Wow.
A very big and honorable achievement, bringing riotous applause from all involved, including the opposing fielding team. So in this song, seeing the Brits are still using the old empirical system for gauging speed and speed limit road signage, we can only assume to get on your bike and make a ton is to travel 100 miles an hour. Certainly a dangerous thrill for Ray Lamas, who eventually took the trunk road doing around 120, even more than a ton, with no room left to brake. It's nice to see that stepping stone. Like, yes, doing a ton, you can kind of extrapolate and get there, but this is that evolution. This is that missing link.
Yeah, that's really cool that's the origin of it.
Yeah, yeah. And then I have a follow-up from him as well about time signatures, which came not too long after our discussion with Lucas. George here from Australia again. Do the accent if you must. He acquiesces, and I appreciate that. Since writing to you last only a few days ago, I just heard your second Talk Tull With Me podcast. I really enjoy these and wish you would do them more often, even if it means you do a little more than 300 episodes. The insights and opinions of other Tull Skulls always interests me, as it does you. And I informed him that we eventually turned it into this. We eventually turned it into the halfway where we would throw in.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, right, right.
In the second episode of Talk Tull With Me, there was a musician who wrote in and spoke of the mathematical nature of blending different time signatures using the example of 4-4 and 5-4 times coming together at 20 beats. That was probably Jay Mancila, is my guess. He is correct, of course, and it's something that Zappa often does. Love, Frank. Something similar happens in one of the most recognizable Tull tunes, but it often goes unnoticed. It's at the very start of Thick as a Brick. The acoustic guitar intro, depending on which instruments you're listening to, can alternate between 4-4 time and 3-4 time. You can count this acoustic guitar intro as 4 bars of 4-4 or 8 bars of 3-4.
Huh.
Bonkers. My mind is blown immediately. The same thing happens with the flute phrase between the lines, "Really don't mind if you sit this one out," and "My words but a whisper, in deafness a shout," which repeats again a few times between the lines. The sung lines are a more solid 3-4 time, but as soon as the flute part kicks in, it's a combination of some musicians playing 2 bars with 4-4 emphasis and the other 4 bars with a 3-4 emphasis.
I'm going to have to go to 2-4 bars after listening to all this.
And drink heavily just to make it work. I fell off my chair when I made this revelation more than 10 years after first hearing the song. It's these subtle revelations that make Jethro Tull one of, if not, my all-time favorite bands. Keep up your amazing work. George K., Melbourne, Australia.
Well, thank you, George, for the time signature talk and for telling us the linguistic significance of the only game that is more boring than American baseball.
Ooh, shots fired, ladies and gentlemen. Golf isn't more boring?
I don't consider that a sport.
Yeah, fair enough.
Thank you, George. It's great to hear from you. Please continue to write in. I hope you hear this soon. We have also an email from none other than Folky Phil.
Folky Phil writes in.
The very folkiest of Phils. Subject line, Sparrow Thoughts. Sparrow Thought for the podcasters. Hi, Nick. Parentheses and Omen. End parentheses. Some thoughts on Sparrow on the Schoolyard Wall for your amusement and delectation. Delicatation.
Delicatessen.
Nick, help me out. What does that word mean?
Delectation.
Delectation, pleasure and delight. Yes.
Delectable.
Oh, yeah. Delectation. Thank you. Some thoughts on Sparrow on the Schoolyard Wall for your amusement and delicitation. You gave the song a grand mome analysis, or momalysis, if you will, as always, and I'm delighted that my report from the York Christmas show made the podcast too. The thing that occurred to me about Sparrow is that the advice given, basically to live it up while you're young, because you are a long time dead, is exactly opposite of how Mr. Anderson has led his life. Famously, Ian is the hardworking, nose-to-the-grindstone rockstar slash businessman who didn't get drunk, didn't get high, and on tour went to bed an hour after the show ended. To sleep, rather than shag groupies. He is Mr. Party Pooper. His idea of living it up is to go for an extra hot curry. However, While it's usually a mistake to think that Ian is singing in the first person or even expressing his own personal views, Sparrow is not only out of character for Ian, but also at odds with other songs. In Pied Piper from the Too Old album, he tells the tale of predatory Ray Llamas waiting for young female sparrows as they flutter over the schoolyard wall. That's a very, very good point. That kind of repetition of the images there.
Mm-hmm.
There's no explicit advice given to the sparrows, but the underlying message is that aging biker Ray is out to pull and fool the girls, that anything goes, and those birds choosing to ride with him do so at their own risk. And Pervy Ray is presented as the glamorous hero of that tale. More recently, in Sad City Sisters from Zealot Jean, Ian observes two young women having a night on the town. And while he doesn't outright criticize them for their sleazy, drunken, knicker-wetting debauchery, there's clear disappointment expressed at the sisters' desperate, sad lives. So, Sparrow is a strange song for several reasons. Ian usually writes observational songs, but tends not to directly comment on those observations, although there are exceptions, my God. My God, there are exceptions. As to the currently discussed album, I started my Tull journey with a borrowed cassette of Busting Out, then borrowed Broadsword on vinyl, then slowly acquired the back catalog. I hated the style of Under Wraps, was quite happy with Crest and Rock Island, but found Catfish Rising disappointing. It seemed too influenced by America, had lost touch with Tull's traditional folk roots, and I didn't really like Martin's increasingly squeaky, jagged guitar. But mostly, it wasn't what I wanted Tull to be doing. I wanted Broadsword Part 2, full of imagined battles and monsters, and Catfish isn't that. I didn't like the Americana direction, which at the time I felt gave a country rock flavor, and as country music was a despised genre for me at the time, I didn't listen to the album very much. I am more tolerant now and really enjoy the darker gothic country. And that's the thing with Tull. There's no such thing as a bad album, but because Ian does what Ian wants, and what he usually wants is not to repeat himself, even dedicated fans can get left behind simply because Tull's latest style and our personal musical tastes no longer coincide. The good news is that if you leave it for a year, maybe a decade or three, you might cross paths with the previously dismissed Tull album, give it another listen, and suddenly find you are now in tune with it. The record won't have changed, so it must be you that has had life experiences, have developed, maybe matured. This is good.
Mm.
So if you don't like a Tull record, give it 30 years. After all, life's a long song. Cheerio, Folky Phil. Wow, a lot to unpack.
Yeah.
Folky Phil, thank you as ever for your insights. I love what he mentioned about Sparrow being a little bit at odds with the typical Ian voice.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to bring up this idea of the mask and the counter mask. That this is something that I learned about when studying Commedia dell'arte, mm-hmm. but also has certain resonances with the work of Joseph Campbell on the Masks of God. So the idea is anytime that you have a mask of a character, of a divinity, of anything, it has a certain set of pushes and pulls on the space. It has a certain stance, as it were. Every mask has a counter mask. So if you look at it in the Commedia dell'arte, you have a character who has their chest out. He's very, you know, braggadocio, like the Capitano character. You remember this?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's all, ooh, forward, ooh, I'm the best. You have to sometimes play the counter mask, which is, oh my God, I'm so scared. The chest goes in, the head goes back, everything shrinks. And
it's the same mask. So when you say counter mask, it's not a physically opposing mask. It's two.
Correct.
It physically embodied concept.
It's a concept that goes beyond the physical idea of a mask itself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anytime you have a certain set of energies which is connected to a character, you have to at some point reverse it in order to give the space to the full dimensionality of that character. And I feel like Sparrow on the Schoolyard Wall is maybe that the counter mask, the shadow Ian coming through.
Mm.
Everything that Ian is, this is the opposite.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that. I get that. Yeah, if everything is one note, it eventually becomes less effective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also in terms of one's psyche, if one dedicates oneself to a certain way of life, one may unknowingly develop this kind of opposite persona that lives in the caverns of one's subconscious.
Oh, that's interesting. And then it's so suppressed, it has to come out in the most inopportune moments. Like when you're writing a song for your band, for your rock band.
Right. Well, that's probably the best way that it could come out.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. You're right. It is very effective. It is very effective. And it really does make those moments when they are out, when this opposing mask is embodied, it really does make those moments so much more poignant. Yes, it contrasts what we mainly see normally. So we do see that depth, but it's also like, wow, this is so rare. This must be a very special moment to see this.
And it's not entirely unique in the Tull catalog. If you look at The Whistler on Songs from the Wood, mm-hmm. that's that similar vibe of, hey, yeah. I mean, it's different because it's come away with me and do these things rather than, hey, you should go do these things on your own. But it's the same kind of impulse toward getting out there in the world and trying stuff.
Right. Yeah. We have a lot of like variations on that mask from Songs from the Wood, I think. There's a lot of like a little sketchy, a little skeevy, a little
velvet green.
That's exactly the one I'm thinking about. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Or even Acres Wild.
Mm.
A little bit different, but it has that progenerative quality to it.
Yeah. Those were the feckin' deers of Tull. They really were, for a lot of reasons.
And that's what I think is another great observation that Fogyfield made, which is that this is an evolution. And just like if you decide to have a relationship with someone, you're not committing to a relationship with who they happen to be at that moment. You're committing to having a relationship with who they become.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Huh.
Which I think is a great jumping off point to talk about the lyrics.
Sting.
And the Police.
Sting and the Police. Yeah, that's interesting. That's really interesting, yeah.
You can't arrest me for wearing this. I'm on my own property.
I'm gonna deep fry Mary. Delicious.
I saw her being served up at the state fair.
Omen, here we are. Here is, I'm assuming, the part that you've been champing at the bit to get to, the golden bit here. Let's talk lyrics to this song. Do you have a solid idea in your head?
I do.
Okay. Okay.
And it is perhaps somewhat supported by the text itself, although there are some places where I'm a little hazy on.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Gold tip boots, black jacket and tie. If we start there, we already have a very strong image.
Yes. Yeah.
What I've always been fascinated about with this image is that it's not just black jacket and tie, which could be an image of any formal menswear setting in the Western world.
Yeah.
Since, you know, the early 1800s. The fact that the gold tip boots are included gives it a sense of flair. It does put it almost into the world of the dandy, if you go back to, you know, early 1800s London,
mm-hmm.
or the kind of rock star slash maybe cowboy image in an American context.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't think about the cowboy. I mean, I imagined them as cowboy boots, but I thought them like fancy decorative that you would wear to look a little different, you know. I didn't think of them as an actual cowboy.
If you search for gold tip boots, you do find cowboy boots. You also find a lot of Chelseas.
Oh, yes. Yep.
And they look fantastic.
They are snazzy.
Yeah. If we get into the lyrics, we start, I'm battered and bruised. I got lines I can't use.
Well, I'm battered and bruised. I got lines I can use.
Immediately, I'm reminded of Invictus, William Ernest Henley. You probably have heard this. Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. It's very, you know, turn of the century. Into the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. The idea is, you know, I've been kicked around by life, but I'm still in control of myself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what I think of in these first couple lyrics. And then we get into my head won't deliver while I'm sold down the river.
My head won't deliver while I'm sold down the river.
So immediately there's this sense of a lack of ability, which fits very much into the blues world view.
I've got nothing to offer.
Yeah, I'm washed up. I've been beaten down. It reminds me of the, I think it's the Buddy Guy song. Well, I done got old. Well, I done got old. Can't do the things I used to do.
Well, I done got old. Can't do the things I used to do.
It's so generic.
Well, he gets more specific as it goes on.
So you're saying my head won't deliver is I can't do what I used to do anymore?
It could be that. It could be, you know, in the context of Ian as a rock star, it could be I have writer's block.
Mm.
You know, I used to be able to come up with this great stuff. I used to be able to be wit, and now there's fuzziness there.
Okay.
It could be a hangover.
Yeah, see, I took this to be like kind of the slightly incoherent ramblings of someone who's hungover and still wearing what they wore last night when they went out and like bar hopped.
I love that image. I mean, why not? And there's no reason that those two couldn't coexist as points of departure.
Yeah.
What does being sold down the river mean?
I think that means being scammed.
Yeah. Someone has betrayed you for personal profit or gain.
Yeah.
So not only can he not rely on his health, on himself, he can't rely on anyone else. So he's like the rug has been pulled out from under him.
Yeah.
But I'm turning again. Yes, I'm turning again. Well, I'm turning again and I'm turning again.
But I'm turning again. Yes, and I'm turning again. Well, I'm turning again and I'm turning again.
This is why I love Folky Phil's description of his own experience with Tull, because Tull is always reinventing themselves. That is the one constant with Ian. Is that he never wants to do what he's done before. He's always turning again. He's turning, he's reinventing himself. He's turning a new side of himself.
Yeah. Maybe this new iteration, this most recent iteration to get out of being battered and bruised.
Exactly.
And head not delivering is the gold tip boots, black jacket and tie, you know?
Yes.
A complete makeover for whatever reason.
Exactly. And that's part of the reason that I love this song so much is because for me, and I think for a lot of people, what you choose to wear isn't just happenstance. That's what, you know, I need something to cover my shameful body from the cold winds. But it is an expression of who you are.
Funny you say cold wind, because this song always reminded me of Cold Wind to Valhalla with that kind of nonsense, like crack wind clatter, flesh rain bite.
Crack wind clatter, flesh rain bite.
Oh, interesting.
Frozen flaking fish raw nerve in a cup of silver liquid fire.
Frozen flaking fish raw nerve in a cup of silver liquid fire.
To me, it's just these nonsense phrases of I'm battered and bruised. I got lines I can't use. My head won't deliver while I'm sold down the river. It always made me think of that. I forget the name of that poetic term that someone told
yes,
us
yes,
is really
the keening.
Cool.
Was it
keening? Oh, keening. Yeah. I think so.
Although keening also means something else, but that, yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about RuPaul.
Yes.
Of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that RuPaul has said for a long time is we're all born naked
mm-hmm.
and the rest is drag. And it sounds like this kind of cliche thing, but like so many, you know, like all of Oscar Wilde's quotes, it really has a lot of truth to it.
Yeah.
And there's a great clip of RuPaul on a talk show in the early 90s. And the host, I forget who it is, like Orsino Hall, is like, so, you know, what is this thing? You know, you're a man, you dress as a woman. And RuPaul's like, yeah, it's drag, you know, and I'm not the only one here in drag. And the audience is like, ah, ha, ha, ha. And RuPaul's, no, look at those business guys in the back wearing their suits. That's drag. They woke up this morning and they decided to look like that because of what it communicates to the outside world. They put on a shirt, they put on a jacket, they put on a tie, so that the world would know that there's something important about them, that they have status. That's drag. I decided to do the same thing, but I put on this dress because what I wanted to project to the world is fabulousness and femininity and everything. Mm. So this idea that you could be in this down and out state and say, yes, all this is true, but I'm going to get this new outfit and that is going to reinvent my life.
Right.
I think there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah. Be the dress for success, you know, basically.
Dress for the change you want to be in the world.
Yeah, right. And I just want to say you called him Orsino Hall. It's Arsenio Hall. Put away the emails, everybody.
Oh, God. Put away the emails and get out your collected works of Shakespeare.
Yeah. Look up Orsino, please.
I recognize that I'm word vomiting a lot because I have a lot of thoughts about the song. I will pause.
You have more thoughts than I do, so it is okay. But I think verse two, we're kind of revisiting the same thing here. Well, I've been second to none. This horse was ready to run. Now I'm has been and used and disarmed and defused.
Well, I've been second to none. This horse was ready to run. And now I'm has been and used.
Same thing. Like, I'm bottom of the barrel. I could have done something, but I didn't. I'm washed up. There's nothing for me to do. I'm useless and ineffective, disarmed and defused, but I'm turning again and turning again and turning again.
You know, I think the difference between verse one and verse two is that verse one is in the moment. I woke up this morning and I feel like crap.
Yeah.
The second verse is, man, I used to be somebody. I used to be somebody important. I used to be the horse that people would bet on. And now I'm this washed up. It actually reminds me of Ray Lamas, you know, being the washed up rocker that nobody wants to pay attention to until that becomes fashionable again.
Right. The cycle.
Yeah. That's a bit different because that's somebody being stubbornly who they are until what that thing is becomes fashionable. This is saying, I'm going to reinvent what fashionable is.
Right. Because I have to.
Well, it reminds me of artists who are really successful in the long run are those who can reinvent themselves. Look at Madonna.
Yeah.
Look at Cher.
Yeah.
Look at Jethro Tull. Look at Taylor Swift. Her whole tour right now is the Eras Tour. This was this era of Taylor Swift. This is this era of Taylor Swift. She's been really good at marketing that.
That's essentially the Tull Tour too. It's, what is it, 70 years of Jethro Tull or whatever?
175 years of...
Feels like it.
That's kind of what I get. Even Bob Dylan has reinvented himself a number of times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's those bands that do that, that last significantly longer. Whereas the bands that are like, no, this is our sound. This is what we do. This is how we do it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the bands that you're like, whatever happened to Sum 41? You know, like, what are they doing?
You know,
whereas like Foo Fighters, they've got this kind of backbone to their sound that they build off of, but they've got to be like almost 20 albums now at this point. They're still touring massive stadiums. Dave Grohl is a rock legend at this point.
Wow.
And it's because they develop. Their sound is different every single time. It's not so drastic as Tull per se, but it's there, you know, that evolution needs to be there.
And that's why I think it was so fortuitous that Folky Phil's email about this album and his initial reaction to it is paired with this song, because this song feels like the direct answer to, you like our old music? Well, the people who made that music are old and washed up now. And so now we have become this. And if you don't like it, that's okay.
Yeah.
Because we're fabulous and you're going to fall in love with it eventually.
Right.
But do that on your time.
Yeah, the rate of maturation is different for everyone, and it's just a matter of, you'll get there.
Yeah.
You'll get there. Eventually, you'll like it. I mean, that's not always the case with everything. You know, like, I can't listen to new Weezer. It is dog shit. I still love the old stuff.
But try again in 30 years.
But I will try. I guess I'll try again in 30 years and continue to hate it.
Now, the verse that I get a little bit lost on is, I'm egg over easy and I'm washing up squeezy.
I'm egg over easy and I'm washing up squeezy.
Yeah, egg over easy feels like you're fried. Like your shell is broken and you're fried.
Uh-huh. Washing up squeezy makes me think of, it's a washing up liquid. What in the States we call
dish soap.
Dish detergent. Just soap.
I'm washing up Squeezy. But that also, to me, feels like washed up.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. There's something for me in that line of the banality of it. I almost get the I almost get the impression, what my mind jumps to is the image of somebody who used to be a famous rock star and now they're washing the dishes in the back of the diner.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't pay for their meal type of thing.
Right, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's like, whatever happened to that guy? Oh, yeah, that's him. Yeah.
That's him.
Yeah.
What?
Appliance for sale, fat wind in my sail.
Appliance for sale, fat wind in my sail.
That's like, appliance for sale, I'm for hire.
Ooh. Uh-huh.
That's my thought. Or I'm so desperate, I need to sell this stove to pay for the can of beans that's going to be my supper.
Don't ask where it came from. And also, once I sell the stove, I won't be able to cook the beans.
Yeah. That's what the radiator's for. Fat wind in my sail. Wind in your sail is like a sign of luck, though. A turn of fortune.
Yeah, that's usually a positive thing pushing you forward.
Yeah. Yeah, so maybe the positive thing is I found this this stove that fell off the back of a truck.
yeah, why not?
Maybe, I don't know. That one does seem to be turning again. That one does seem to be turning just a little bit and have even just a semblance of positivity there, or possibility of positivity.
Resourcefulness, not giving up, accepting one's circumstances.
Yeah, and working with it instead of against it.
And that's the key. We'll talk later in like a year or so about .com and Bends Like a Willow,
mm-hmm.
which is, of course, under the Shona song category and a gorgeous song.
Very sexy.
But this idea that, you know, it's the old adage that the flexible willow survives the storm better than the strong oak because the willow bends with the wind rather than trying to stand up to it.
Right. Yeah. Bends Like a Willow is currently slated for 12/10/24. It'll be episode 307. However, if we're getting that new Tull album in April, that will push it back into 2025.
My God. So here's a question for you, Nick, and I suspect I know the answer. Because you and I have a different relationship with clothing.
Yes.
And personal dress. But have you ever had...
There is a nudist colony right around the corner from me, actually.
There is.
Haven't been there, but...
Have you ever had the experience of feeling bad for whatever reason and then putting on a really nice outfit and feeling better or feeling like at least you could deal with the world because you look good?
That implies I have any really nice outfits, Omen.
That implies I've ever felt good.
Both of those work. No, it's never. I mean, every now and then I'll feel like, well, I've been a schlub for like a month and a half straight. Let me actually dress up for work today, you know? But it's, I guess it makes me feel better. But it's just old man chic, you know? It's just like shirts and sweater vests and button-down vests and knit vests, you know? That kind of thing.
You've been getting into more clothes, though, recently. I've been noticing your personal style evolve just in this last year.
A little bit. I got fancy shoes, but that's about it. No, that's not true.
You got suspenders and things.
I got suspenders. That's true. That's it. I'm wearing just those.
Just and nothing else.
They cover the nipples just enough to be tantalizing.
Gold tip suspenders, black suspenders, and tie me up with suspenders.
And suspenders. You obviously have felt that, I imagine.
I feel like I have had the experience in this song multiple times where I feel like in my life I have reinvented myself a number of times. And every time that I get to that point, I'm like, well, I'll need a new outfit to solidify who that person is. It's just like being an actor. You don't just go out and stage willy-nilly. You're projecting with your costume who you are. There are so many studies to show that we communicate visually more than we communicate through speech, or that even in speech, we communicate more through the tone than with the specific words.
Yeah.
There's so much richness that we're not even aware of. And so how you look, how you project yourself, I got a haircut today. I feel a million times better.
Yeah.
Because I feel more like the version of myself that I like.
Yeah. if you really want to get nitty gritty deep, I mean, it's not the concept, but it's the idea behind trans people. You know, they are not comfortable in who they are and what they are, and they therefore change accordingly and make themselves what they are and more comfortable.
And become who they are. Yes, there's a process of self-actualization with that, I think is part of that experience. Yes.
Yeah. The cocoon stage is really fascinating to watch.
That's why we have to keep planting
milkweed.
That's why we have to keep planting milkweed, because so that so that trans people can pupate.
I like it. I mean, I'm all in support of milkweed.
Absolutely.
And pupation.
And trans people.
And trans people, obviously. This is your song, whether it's drunken man hungover babbling, feeling better by getting dressed, or man down in the dumps for whatever reason, changing himself and evolving and kind of marking that achievement by having a new outfit and really dressing for that feeling, that presence, that new person.
Yes. Yes. I relate to all of those things. Yeah. That the and in a way that the gold tip boots and the black jacket and the tie are symptomatic expressions of an internal change.
Yes. Right. Yeah. It's not I just got a new leg. I'm gonna get pants. Like there's something, it's more internalized. I was trying to think of a different physicality. Like maybe I lost weight, I'm gonna get new outfits, you know? I gained weight, I'm gonna get new outfits.
Yeah.
Same thing. Yeah.
Oh, I could talk about this forever.
Yeah. I will cut most of it. Don't worry.
Very good. Nick, what are we listening to next week, narrowing in on the end of this album?
So close to being done. We are on When Jesus Came to Play, the sister song, in my eyes, to Gold Tipped Boots, Black Jacket and Tie.
Squee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee.
Until next week, fat wind can fill your sail, but it can also fill your Talk Tall to Me branded t-shirt. And you can purchase those through our TeePublic page.
Evolve into the version of yourself that you would most like to be by connecting with our Discord community, by becoming a Patreon member for the low price of $5 American per month. Or if you are a visual learner, pay $15 a month and see us record this podcast. Once you see it, you can never unsee it.
How's that for enticing?
Yeah, yeah.
Until next week, I'm wearing nothing but gold-tipped boots, black jacket, and tie. I'm Nick McGill.
Don't believe the lies my head will deliver, I'm Omen Thomas Sayd.
We are washing up Squeezy, the feckless momes.
And this is Finally Diffused, it's Talk Tell to Me.
I don't know if I'm in the right place, but I'm here for me photo shoot.
Yes. Mary, correct?
That's right. No last name.
That's, you know, Cher, Madonna, Mary.
That's right. Also, I had to sell it during me years of poverty.
Wow. Okay. A coming of age story, a coming out of the gutter story. I like that. I like that. So I see that you are already wearing the dress that we sent to you. That's great.
Yes, I had a little bit of trouble getting me legs through the neck hole, but I think I've got it cinched up around me corpulent body now.
Yes, that's a novel way to put on a dress, but I mean, it looks good. You didn't stretch out the neck or anything. That's okay. So we're going to start over here. Find your light. Let's get in here. Oh, it's going to be a little warm.
Oh, I'm not used to this glamorous life, Mr. Patrickson.
Things are about to open up for you, Mary. Things are about to get very exciting. This could be a very successful shoot.
Things haven't opened up for me in years. Now, how do you want me to stand? Shall I just put my hands behind me back and think about the rosary?
We could start with that. Yeah, let's get a little candid shots here. Okay, good.
Ah, right. I feel so demure.
Yeah, look up into the right corner, please. Like you're looking, like you're praying to God.
Oh, I've got to move my neck manually.
Interesting. Okay, very, very interesting choice. I like it. I like it. Okay, tilt your head just a little bit. I want to see a little hair fall over your eyes. Okay, that hair fell out. Okay, that's different.
Just leave it there. Okay. It'll grow back in 5 to 6 weeks.
Okay, pull the head back down and let's get some hands on hips. Let's get a little saucy now.
Oh, I forgot I even had my hips. Haven't touched them in years. Oh, Mr. Patrickson, I feel like you're bringing something out of me. Something savage.
That's what I want, Mary. That's what I'm looking for. I want to take a picture of your savagery. Give me a little wink at the camera. Give me a little, shoot your eyes at the camera. I want to see those eyes.
Am I doing it? No.
Okay, that looks painful. You might have pink eye. You might need winking? To go to the doctor. Okay. Enough of the winking. Let's turn, let's face the backdrop and turn your head over your left shoulder. Let's get coy look.
I'm going to go back into me memory hole and pretend like I'm a wee girl again, seeking to catch the eye of Bobby Stoner.
Perfect, perfect. I'm Bobby. Make those eyes at Bobby. Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, beautiful. Amazing. Horrifying. Now bite your lip. Bite your lip. Bite your lip. Not that hard. Not that hard. You're bleeding. Okay. All right. Now let's do something fun, Mary. Let's do something fun.
Oh, I have an idea. I'm having an impulse, Mr.
Please.
Photographer.
Please, let's go
My
with it.
My bosom is heaving.
Yeah.
Let me rip this garment off of me.
Okay. Wow. Wow.
I'm Joan of Arc.
I'm
Boadicea. I'm the maid of the mist.
You're Nancy Reagan. You.
I'm all of it. There's paddles all over the place.
You're embodying the powerful woman, Mary, and I love it. I'm here for it. I'm here for it. Now I just need one more shot from you, okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'll do anything. I feel the wind blowing through me leg hairs.
I need you to read these words off of this card.
Yes, I'm a tiger in the forest. Show me the words. Tak Taltimi is a proud member of a feckless mom's audio network. Ah! My body's a wonderland!